You guessed it. Book of Matthew again. Tonight, the first number of verses in chapter 6. I was very thankful for the opportunity to be with you during these days. I've been reminded, because there are not a lot of things calling in many different directions, of the privilege of just spending the extra hours, not only standing in front of you, but in the time to prepare. It's a refreshment and a quietness to our own hearts, and we're thankful to the Lord for the privilege of being here during these days. Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read the first 18 verses. The Lord Jesus is speaking, as he is all through these three chapters. Tonight he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." What do you mean by that? Well, we'll read the rest of these verses to see. "When, therefore, you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by you. Truly, I say to you, they have their full reward," the reward in full. "And when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you." Then he's got another subject. "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." And then he's got another subject. "And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you keep referring to those you were teaching as people who could speak to your Father as our Father. That means you're teaching most of us here tonight, if not all, people who are yours. You're teaching us about how we should practice our righteousness, how we should do acts of righteousness in this world where we are salt and light. Help us to understand these things and to practice them in accordance with your instructions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you were with us in the dining room for the meal this evening, but I hadn't really decided how I was going to introduce this message. But our brother Richard Strout gave me the introduction. He talked in the little game that we played. He talked about things that might be taught to animals, and what were some of the things that most commonly could be things that you could teach an animal, a dog or something like that, to do. And he suggested that he and his wife had taught their dog to pray. And I thought, well, I'm going to talk about praying tonight. Maybe this all ought to fit in. Now, I have no doubt that maybe they taught their dog to hold his paws together and maybe even put his head down. But I doubt that that dog ever really prayed. And I'm sure he does too. And maybe even Virginia doubts it. You see, in the mornings we've been talking about how God made everything. And one of the things that's true about human beings is that we are made in God's image. And that's what it takes to be able to pray. It is true that we can teach animals to go through the motions that look like prayer, but we also know they don't, they can't pray. But part of what our Lord Jesus is saying to us here is, you are made in God's image, and really, right at the end of my preparation time, I suddenly got struck by the fact that Jesus is always saying, your Father, your Father, your Father. And he doesn't say that to people who are not his children. So he's really talking to us, and he's saying to us, well, what does verse 1 say? Look at it with me. He's saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Now, doing your acts of righteousness, practicing your righteousness. I think he's really talking about these, how should we call them, religious actions, religious motions, praying, fasting, sharing with people who have need. He says, beware when you're practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Beware of that. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And that begins to say to me, even though we might all acknowledge that dogs can't pray, even though they might look like it, I think Jesus is saying to us, be careful lest you too, who have been made, created in God's image, and therefore have the capacity to pray, beware that you don't pray in ways that aren't praying, aren't really valuable, aren't really the right way to do these things. What are the things he's talking about? Well, in verses 2 to 4, he's talking about, in my translation, it says, give alms. It's really helping the needy, sharing what we have. And he says, That's one thing to talk about. Then from verse 5 through verse 15, he talks about how we pray. Tonight, I'm not going to even touch on verses 9 through 15, on the specific instructions he gives us about the content of praying. I'm just trying to get at the business of what is our attitude, what is our motive, what ought it to be as we come to pray. So, early verses, helping the needy. The middle group of verses about praying, seeking God's will, and our dependence, declaring our dependence on Him. And then in 16 to 18, fasting. Going without food for a while. Time with Him, dependence on Him, expectation from Him, those kinds of things. Nowhere does Jesus say, do not give help to the needy, do not pray, do not fast. Rather, he's talking of, in this whole section, he's talking about how we do these things, particularly our motive for doing them. You see, verse 2 begins with, when therefore you give alms? He's assuming that we're going to. Do you see verse 5? When you pray, he's assuming that we're going to pray. And when we do, this is the way to do it. And in verse 16, and whenever you fast, he's assuming that we will. So then what does he say about how to do these things? What is Jesus' concern about our practices, our acts of righteousness? Well, his concern really is about our motives in doing these things. As I studied all of this, it seemed to me there was a repetition that came along. And the repetition included some things that we ought not to do, and then there was some instruction about things that we are to do and how to do these things. What motives, what reasons should we avoid as we try to comb out of these verses the things that Jesus speaks about? Well, I was impressed with the fact that three times over, he says, when you give alms, don't do it like the hypocrites. When you pray, don't do it like the hypocrites. When you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites. Well, who are they? Well, they are people who do things to leave an impression that's different from what their real attitude is inside. They're giving an impression on the outside of something that's different from what is really their inner attitude. Look at verse 2. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Now, just try to imagine that for a moment. Suppose when you came into the building tonight, you were greeted by someone who had a trumpeter standing alongside of him, da-da-da-da-da-da, and when that had sounded forth, you saw that person give a gift either to an individual or to one of the leaders of the church because he was wanting to be so generous. And you say to yourself, I really wonder about this. Or if the next time you went across the street to the Super Value, you found that man there with that same trumpeter alongside of him, da-da-da-da-da-da. He's calling attention to the fact that he's giving a gift to be helpful. Maybe the person really was in need. And maybe he really ought to give the gift. But Jesus doesn't really talk about that, does he? He says, watch out. Do not sound a trumpet before you. Now, few of us would be so far out as to try that one. Especially not in church. We might try it on the street corner. He says, be careful that you don't do that as hypocrites do in the synagogue. And what is it that makes it hypocritical? Well, they're doing this not to meet the need of the person. What does Jesus say? Because they're doing it that they may be honored by men. He says, look, if you're going to be helpful, be helpful. Don't do it to call attention to yourself. What else does he say? Look at verse 5. Again, he's talking about a certain kind of hypocrisy. Verse 5, and when you pray, what are you not to do? What should not be your motive when you pray? Well, to be leaving an impression different from the impression that one ought to give when he prays. Don't be like the hypocrites, verse 5, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. Is it wrong to pray in the synagogue or the church? Is it wrong to pray on the street corner? No. But it is wrong to do that in order to be what? In order to be seen by men. It's not wrong to give alms. It's not wrong to pray. But it is wrong to give alms. And it is wrong to pray in order to call attention to ourselves. Usually our custom, even if we're in a restaurant, a public restaurant, to bow our heads and pray before we eat. But of course, Jesus is raising the question here. Are you giving thanks because you're thankful for your food, or are you giving thanks in order to make it clear that you are different from a lot of the other people in this restaurant? Or maybe even you're tempted to say, I'm going to pray so I can be a witness. You see, why do we pray? He says, don't pray to be noticed. Pray to declare your dependence on God. What does he say in verse 7? When you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. He said, there are people, he's describing them as those who are not his, Gentiles here, unbelievers we would say. And he says, they think that the longer their prayer, the more quickly it's going to be heard. And he says, that's just not true. An experience, it's now more years ago than I like to admit, I was involved with the children's camp that we had, and one of the ladies from our church, who was a public school teacher, was being the counselor to some grade school girls that had come to the camp. And in their devotional time, before they finished the day and went to sleep, Arlene was seeking to teach those girls to pray like girls, pray in ways that children would pray. And all week long, she was going over this each night before they would read their scripture and talk about it a bit, and then they'd pray. They came to the very last night before the girls were to go home, and this one little gal started off, and Arlene, I wasn't there. Arlene reported to me that when this little girl began to pray, she began to pray and sounded just like her mother. And Arlene said, I just took my finger and I stuck it in her ribs. I didn't say a word, just jammed it in her ribs. And then she said, you could just hear. And then that little girl began to pray like the little grade school girl that she was. And Arlene said, it was beautiful. There are times, I'm sure, that we're all tempted to pray in ways that we want to sound like somebody else and the way they pray. And our Lord Jesus is saying, don't think that your prayer will be heard because of its length or because it sounds like someone that you've heard pray that you think is a good prayer. No, he says, just talk to your Heavenly Father. Be yourself in His presence. Look at verse 16. He says there, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as hypocrites do. And here it kind of gets twisted around the other way, doesn't it? He says, here, don't fast in such a way that you look neglected, like you had, you're suffering. I don't suppose that anybody who eats in the dining hall here could ever be accused of looking too emaciated if they weren't quite going to make it. Well fed. But he's saying, when you fast, don't fast in such a way that you leave an impression that you're really suffering. He says, rather, wash your face, look like you normally do. Isn't that what he says in there in 16? He says, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Now, one of the things that I catch here, when Jesus talks about these motives, every time he gets down to the bottom line, and every time he gets to the end of what he's saying, he says, your problem is, if you give gifts to others to be seen, your problem is, if you pray in order to be noticed as a praying person, if you fast in order to be trying to impress somebody with your being a fasting person, why are you really doing that? Well, he says, you're doing that so that others will notice. And then every time, verse 2, verse 5, verse 16, he says, if that's your motive and you're noticed, you've had it. If your desire in your helping of others is to be noticed as a generous person, if your desire in your praying is to be noticed as a praying person, if your desire in your fasting is to be identified in the eyes of others as a fasting person, and they notice it, don't look for anything more. You've got your reward in full. You were looking for something, and you've got it. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? So let's look at the other side of what our Lord Jesus says here. What reasons, what motives should we have in our acts, in our practicing of righteousness, our acts of righteousness? Well, look at verses 3 and 4. He says, not the way I talked about in verse 2, but this way. When you give alms, verse 3, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. His emphasis is, if I am wanting to be generous to someone, I know they have need, I want to help them, I ought to do it in such a way that I'm not calling attention of others to what I'm doing, but I should not even call my own attention to what I'm doing. How can your left hand not know what your right hand is doing, really? If I scratch my head with my right hand, my left hand knows what's going on. I think what he's saying is, don't even try to impress yourself. If you want to be generous in such a way that no one but God knows about your generosity. Sometimes in doing it, others will get to be aware. I don't think that you ought to be upset about that. The question is, why are you doing it? Not so much, oh, I was being pretty guarded about this, but somebody discovered what I was doing. I don't think Jesus is being critical of that. But I think he is saying, you see, when his emphasis comes through, and it does in all three of these practices, about doing it in secret and doing it before the Lord, who is in secret and who sees in secret, If we don't have motives in what we're doing along these lines to call attention to ourselves by what we're doing, and that becomes a test of whether I'm really doing it for the sake of our Lord and because this is what is pleasing in His sight. Help others, he says in verses 3 and 4, help others secretly with the confidence that our Father who sees in secret will repay. Doesn't matter whoever else knows this. The Lord knows. And we go on. Look at verse 5. When you pray, I wrote 5. But I should have said 6. Verse 6. When you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. I think once in my life, I was in the home of a man who was able, both by his skills and by his income, to construct a closet in which he prayed. It was probably the only thing that went on there. I'm not certain. I don't think there's anything wrong with what he did, but most of us don't have the ability to do that kind of thing. What Jesus is really saying, not so much that you need a special place in your house, which nothing goes on there except praying, but he's really saying, go where nobody else knows what you're doing. When you're alone, pray to your Father. He's there. See, He is in secret. That's pretty important for us to keep reminding ourselves about. And then he says, pray to Him with the confidence that your Father, who sees in secret, will hear and answer. Realize in verse 8 that He knows our needs before we pray. Well, if you're like I am, then you say, then why pray? If He knows what I need before I get to explaining it to Him, then why do I need to pray? Well, I think the main reason, as I think about that, the main reason that we really need to pray is to admit to Him our dependence. If your parents, when you had small children, they were in the midst, the child was got hurt or was crushed by something, you loved it for that child to come and explain the need or spill the tears where you were, because it was an evidence of the need of that child for you as a parent, and it gave you the privilege of ministering. If you heard the crying, you probably knew there was need before the child came, but you had the privilege of ministering. And I think that's exactly what our Lord is saying. He's looking for us to be willing to admit our dependence on Him and to be willing to admit it even if no one else gets to know about it. And then look at 17. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men. But your Father, who is in secret, and your Father, but seen by your Father, who is in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. Because I was very much struck by the your Father, I counted out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 different times in these 18 verses, our Lord Jesus speaks to these people, to His followers as people who had the right to call God your Father. And when I saw that in a fresh way, I began to say to myself, this is for me. And I want to say, this is for you. Aren't we tempted at times to do any of these things? Perhaps tempted at times in all of these things to do them not so much as a declaration of our desire, our God-given desire to help others, to declare our dependence on Him in prayer, or even more vigorously, declaring that in our going without food for a period, either to give ourselves time to spend with God rather than eating, or to declare that our strength is really only strength that comes from the Lord. And if we do those things, don't we also need to admit that there, at least on some occasions, there's the temptation to want to let others know that we're doing this, because then they might think us a couple of notches more spiritual than they've been thinking about us up till now. But even these kinds of sins, these kinds of failures, are covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus. And we're thankful. When I began to see that in my own life and experience, then it didn't matter as much what other people knew or didn't know about me. And if I came to the place where I saw myself as having had wrong motives in my generosity or my praying or my fasting, I was very thankful that our Savior says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One last thing that I'd like to call to your attention. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 58? There is a place here where even God's Old Testament people needed to learn to fast, to pray better than they were doing. Isaiah 58. The Lord asks a question in verse 3. The people of Israel are asking the question. They're saying, Isaiah 58:3, why have we fasted and thou dost not see? In other words, they're saying, Lord, we've done some of the things that we ought to do and you're not paying any attention. Why so? Why have we humbled ourselves? The next line of verse 3. Why have we humbled ourselves and thou dost not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with the wicked fist. The Lord says, yes, you're going through some religious activities, but you're using that as a way of taking advantage of some who work for you. You're using that for contention and strife. We might feel like it's all right to strike the wicked with a fist, but it's wrong. Do you fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high? He's saying, if you're fasting for those kind of reasons, do you really expect that God will listen? Verse 5. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day of the Lord? He's saying, there is a way to fast, and I'm not sure if I understand all of those words that the Lord uses there to criticize the way Israel was fasting, but I certainly catch the fact that He's not pleased with the way they were doing it. And He says in verse 5, is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry? And as I'm reading that, all of a sudden I'm saying, the Lord is saying, your fasting ought to be to beseech me for help and freedom in the lives of others. And then when I come to verse 7, it sounds to me like he's saying, I'm not eating the food, so I have some to give to somebody who's hungry, sharing with the needy. See verse 7? Is it not to divide? Is the kind of fast the Lord is saying, is not the fast that I kind, the kind I'm looking for? Is it not the kind to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? For when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Verse 8, he says, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And look at 9. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Well, here's fasting, meeting the needs of others around us, and praying, all wrapped up together, just like Jesus had them in Matthew 6. And you notice what he says? Verse 11. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairers of the breach and the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. You see, it seems to me that God is saying, when we share with the needy, when we pray, when we fast, not to leave an impression on others, but because our relationship to the Lord brings us to do this in such a way that best we can, only He knows it. He pours out blessing. And there is progress and there is growth in our own lives. And then he says to these Israelites, even in the city where you dwell. I don't want to be misunderstood. None of these things are contrary to praying together or joining together with other Christians to help meet the needs of others, or even for a group of people to seek to fast and call on the Lord together. It's not talking about our ways of doing these things together. It's talking about my way of doing these things before God for me. And it's talking about your way of doing these things when you're alone before God and you answer to Him. And then there is some other glorious instruction in the Scripture about how we might do these things together. But you see, our Lord Jesus says, He's got to be. Tomorrow night's message focuses on the singleness of our commitment to Him that's necessary for His followers. And it comes through to me even here. He says, you, in your living before me, if nobody else knew it, would you still be the kind of person that you are? Would you still be generous? Would you still pray? Would you still fast? And I want to say, Lord, give me this grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us in ways that touch how we live when we're alone. Thank you for teaching us in ways that touch our motives, our attitudes. Help us indeed to be generous with the needy around us. Help us to be eager to pray. Help us to understand that prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered, unexpressed. Help us to realize that while you give us food for strength each day, our Lord Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of my Father. And help us to be so intense about those things that we'll be eager to live in accordance with our Savior's instructions, knowing that you who are in secret sees, knows, and will repay. We trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.